Well, we are joined this morning by Erica D'Arcangelo, who is representing the Narcanon Arrowhead Agency. We're going to talk a little bit about teen drug use. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for spending some time with us. Teen drug use. School, of course, is easily back in session now. They've been running back up and down the hallways here for a few months and getting to know each other once again. Is it that time again to start worrying about these types of issues?
Yes, it is. I mean, there's been a lot of studies done last year and this year, and there's definitely some problems going on right now with school day drug use and teen drug use in general.
What are the trends right now?
Well, there's three major trends. The first trend is marijuana use. That's the number one most abused drug by teens. Secondarily, we have prescription drug use. And then the third thing is synthetic drug use. These are drugs that mimic the effects of illicit substances. They were illegal at one time. They were sold in gas stations, convenience stores, and they're very, very addictive. And a lot of kids think that they're safe because they're advertised as natural or non-addictive.
It sounds like you're talking marijuana, prescription drugs, things like that. It sounds like the teens are actually kind of targeting the things that are pretty easy to get their hands on.
Absolutely. With prescription drugs, the number one way that teens are getting it is from friends and family members' medicine cabinets. So they're actually going and taking these drugs from the medicine cabinets and using them. Or you may have a teen that gets a legal prescription and they pass the drugs out to someone else. With the synthetic drugs, those drugs were legal at one time. And with marijuana, just due to the fact that the drug is legal medically in a lot of states, the drug is very, very available, and a lot of teens think that because it's legal for medical use or because so many people use it or because it's on TV and the media a lot that it's a safe drug and it's okay to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get their opinions shaped in a lot of different ways, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. There was recently a study with social media. That's one of the main ways that the kids are having their opinions shaped. They're seeing friends or loved ones on social media with, you know, in pictures with partying and that kind of thing, and they're actually thinking that that's cool or acceptable or not dangerous.
You know, we talk about trends and things with teen drug use, but, it seems like we keep pounding on it and pounding on it, but you just don't seem to really chip away at the big boulder very much. Is it just a simple matter of the teens, or, you know, we always have new teens moving into that age group, and we have to continually work to educate these youngsters?
Absolutely. This is an ongoing problem. It's not something that's going to go away, and we're going to really have to push up the level of education. I read another study that says that parents that speak to their kids about drugs, the kids are 40% less likely to try drugs. So in the home, you have to talk to your kids. Also, schools, they have to have drug education and prevention programs, all different community groups. If your kids are in soccer or music or art, there should be some kind of a drug prevention talk during the course of that activity.
Doesn't really matter much if it's a big town or a big city or a small town, does it?
No, I mean, some of the latest trends are that heroin is a major problem with suburban teens, which is a shocker across the country, but these drugs are really seeping into every single area of our country.
Well, what are some signs that parents might be able to use to see that maybe their teens are involved in some sort of drug use?
What you want to look for is a change in eating and sleeping habits. You may have someone who's up for several days in a row and can't sleep, and then they're crashing, sleeping for several days. Or you may have someone that can't eat and they're sick, and then all of a sudden they're eating again, and that may go in waves. You have a deterioration of physical appearance. The person may have weight loss, dark circles under the eyes. You may see a withdrawal. The person doesn't want to communicate with family and loved ones, drop in grades, inability to handle responsibility. Those are all signs that there could be a drug problem.
But, Erica, some of those are signs of being a teenager, too, aren't they? I mean, you know, maybe sleeping, crashing, all those kinds of things. I mean, sometimes we associate some of those things with just being that age.
Absolutely. And, you know, as parents, you don't want to accuse someone if you don't think that they're doing it. But right now we have 17% of kids who are using drugs during the school day. We have 50% of kids who know someone that's using drugs during the school day. And we have 90% of kids who know where to get drugs during the school day. So if you just see a really big change in behavior, especially with withdrawal communication, the inability to handle responsibility and dropping grades, you just want to take a look at that, as that may be a possibility. Speak to your kids when they're younger. Do as much as you can on drug prevention end. But if you think there's a problem, don't hesitate to talk to your kids. Try to get them help immediately if there's something going on.
Wow, all those numbers during the school day. We expect when we send children to school that they're going to a safe place, but schools can only do so much, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, part of it is that, you know, you may have a kid in school who is diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. They get a prescription for Ritalin or Adderall, and the kid actually can share these drugs with others or sell them. And these are some things that are going on in schools on a daily basis that you really have to watch for. And, you know, as parents, as educators and teachers, you definitely don't want to hear it. You don't want that to be going on in the schools, but that is what's happening right now.
Well, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what should parents do if they do suspect use? You mentioned that we don't want to jump to conclusions, but you do have to err on the side of the safety of your child.
Absolutely. The best thing to do is, when they're at a young age, speak with them about drugs, have open, honest communication, let them ask questions. If you think there's an issue later on, don't be afraid to communicate and ask them what's going on. You may be wrong, your child may be mad at you for being wrong, but it may be better to be wrong than to have an addiction go unnoticed and have something like an overdose or a death or a health problem or even an arrest happen.
Mm-hmm. But now I can think of some parents saying things like, "Yeah, but I have a great relationship with my young one. We've been close for years. We always talk about things and what have you." And then later on, they're shocked when they find out that some of these types of things happen. I mean, how do those circumstances come up?
You know, often what happens is, the parents will notice certain things, and they'll just say, well, maybe for this reason or maybe for that reason. They don't necessarily suspect drugs, or they themselves might not know the signs of the different drugs or addiction to really even realize that that's what's going on. And as a parent, you want to make sure that you're educated. I know at Narconon, we put out articles on our Facebook page 2, 3, 4 times a day just on education for parents, how to help your teen, how to spot drug addiction, because you want to be educated. You want to know if there's something going on.
It's got to be one of the toughest things a parent would have to deal with, though, short of losing a child, would be to have to deal with something that can be so devastating that it could result in the loss of a child.
Absolutely, and I can tell you, I've personally dealt with this problem in my own family with some distant relatives, and I can tell you it's a very, very difficult situation. During the time when the person was addicted, there was a lot of denial. There was a lot of, you know, not being sure about what to do, wanting to believe and hope that it was something else because of just the hurt and the worry about the addiction. And my family member ended up losing their loved one to addiction, and that was even more heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, what needs to happen then? If they do suspect there's drug use and do need to maybe take that next step, what can they do?
Well, what you want to do is, if you think there's a problem, speak to your child. If the problem continues, you want to make sure that they get help, have them talk to a professional counselor, get them into a treatment center. Drug testing is something that you can also do. You can purchase drug tests and drug test your child. Not every parent agrees with that. I don't necessarily recommend it for every family, but if you really suspect that there's a problem and you're not able to get anywhere, it may be a tool that you have to use to get down to the bottom of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And if they do find or they do have some sort of proof or are certain that there are issues going on and they need to maybe take it to the next level, is Narconon a good place to start?
Absolutely. In Narconon, we have a residential treatment program. 7 out of 10 of our graduates stay permanently drug-free. We also do free counseling and assessments, and we refer to 10,000 programs across the country.
And is it just as easy as making that call?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the hardest thing to do is to make the call. If you make the call, you can get some professional help. You yourself can get education on addiction. You can get tips of what you can do. You can even get ideas of intervention services and other things that you can do to get someone into a program.
Mm-hmm. Why don't people call then? If it's that easy, why don't they call?
A lot of the time, sometimes people think that maybe the problem will go away or maybe the person will handle it themselves. And as a parent, especially if you don't know anything about drugs and addiction, we speak to a lot of parents, they just don't know what to do. They feel overwhelmed. They feel sad, depressed. They're stuck in such a loss over what's happening that they feel ultimately helpless over the whole situation. So it just becomes very difficult to face what's going on for some people.
It's tough to rationalize something that's irrational by nature.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, as a parent, any parent, you love your child. You see your child as a child or a baby, even if a child, I mean, I've talked to parents with 40-some-year-old sons and daughters, and they still see their child as a kid and love their child, want to protect them. And sometimes when it comes to confronting them on an addiction, it causes controversy and fights, and sometimes the parents don't want to go there with the child. They're afraid of what might happen.
Yeah, it's a battle that if you lose, you could lose everything there, too. Well, if they want to make that phone call or check out more information, Erica, how do they do it?
Well, you can call toll-free. It's 1-800-468-468. 6933. You can log on to stopaddiction.com or through Facebook. If you go to Narcanon Arrowhead, that's our page with all our information on it.
Very good. Well, thanks for the information, and we hope nobody has to, we hope not many people have to use the details that we just outlined for folks.
Exactly, but it is something that, you know, is preventable, something that can be treated. So, you know, if there is a problem, don't hesitate. Just please call and get help.